How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, Ms. Hartnett, before we get to those photographs, I do have a few questions. So it makes no difference to me, but I think we can turn the light back. Thank you, Mr. Officer. Now, as far as the collection of that evidence that you collected from the vehicle specifically, how was that evidence collected? And again, you've received training in regard to collecting evidence, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And the collection of evidence that you did in this case, was that in conformity with that training and experience that you have?
Yes, it was.
And so how did you collect those pieces of evidence from the vehicle on that particular day?
It depends on what the item was, the taillight specifically, is that what you're asking about?
Well, first, let me ask as far as the hair, and then I'll move on to some other items, if that's all right. So as far as the hair was concerned, how was that collected?
I would have collected the hair with tweezers, put it in a glassine envelope, and then put that into a larger manila envelope.
And as far as those steps that you take, as far as the collection is concerned, what are some of the concerns for that, or why is it that you take those steps?
Prior to touching any evidence, I would put on gloves. I'm not sure in this case whether I used disposable tweezers or reusable tweezers. If I used reusable tweezers, they would have been bleached prior to my using them to prevent contamination.
And so each of those sort of steps that you take in your collection process, is that fair to say that it's in an effort to combat contamination?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, with regard to the paint chips or the paint standards from the vehicle, how did you collect those?
Those would have been collected with a disposable scalpel. I use it to scrape off pieces of paint from the vehicle, which are then put in a glassine envelope and a larger manila envelope.
And as far as the pieces of glass from the bumper area of the vehicle, how were those collected?
I collected those with gloves. I may have used tweezers. I don't recall at the time. But again, if I used tweezers, I would have used bleach tweezers or disposable tweezers.
Now, as far as that taillight assembly was concerned, how was that collected, or what, if any, issues did you have with regard to collecting?
I removed the taillight. Once I had the taillight housing in my possession, I did have trouble disconnecting it from the vehicle, so a police officer on scene did help me disconnect it from the vehicle so that I could properly package it.
And as far as what exactly was it that officer helped you do, or what, if anything, did he do?
I believe he just removed, helped undo the wires that were in the back of the taillight so that I could properly hold it and didn't have to place it down anywhere.
So you had two hands on the taillight as he was performing that, is that correct?
Yes, I believe I did.
And as far as the area of the taillight that you were holding, you were wearing gloves, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And as far as that area that you were holding with your two gloved hands, did that officer touch any area of that part of the taillight?
Not to my recollection, no.
And do you recall whether or not that officer was wearing gloves himself when he disconnected that wiring?
I don't recall.
Now, as far as once you removed that taillight from there, what if anything, did you do with the taillight there?
I put it into a brown paper bag and then transported it back to the lab, where I then properly secured it in a box with added cushion from additional paper to ensure that no additional damage was done.
Now, with respect to your time at the Canton Police Station, were you presented with any additional evidence by any officers from the Canton Police?
Yes, I was.
And what were those items?
I was presented with a broken drinking glass that was reported to have been recovered from the scene at 34 Fairview Road. I was also presented with several Solo cups filled with frozen red-brown stains.
Now, starting with the drinking glass, what, if anything, did you do with regard to the drinking glass?
I packaged it in a brown paper bag.
And with regard to the cups with red-brown stains contained within, what, if anything, did you do with regard to that?
I allowed the cups to thaw, and then I took two sterile swabs, like something similar to a Q-tip, and collected a sample from the red brown stains in those cups.
And then what, if anything, after you took the swabbings from those Solo cups, let me ask first with regard to the Solo cups, what were done with those?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
Sure. So after you took the swabbings from the red cups, what, if anything, was done with the red cups?
I returned those to the Canton Police Department to store as they saw fit.
And as far as the swabbings that you took, what did you do with those?
I secured those in a glassine envelope and a large envelope, and then transported those back to the lab.
Now, after your examination on scene, you returned back to the lab, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And what items of evidence did you examine first in this case in the laboratory?
I examined the apparent hair from the vehicle as well as the broken taillight.
Now, starting with the examination of the taillight, let me ask, in general terms, when items are taken by you back from any kind of scene or any kind of place that you're processing, and you bring them back to the lab, what is it that you do with them when you get back to the lab?
When I get back to the lab, I ensure that they're packaged properly, that they're sealed, and they're stored in the appropriate location within the lab. I also enter them into our laboratory information management system so that from that point forward, those items can be tracked throughout the lab.
Now, each of those, when you come in with sort of a case, is there some sort of number or something that's associated with the case when you first sort of generate that?
Yes.
And do you recall the case number that you assigned or was assigned with regard to this investigation?
Yes, I do.
And what is that case number?
The case number at the lab was 22-2184.
Now, with regard to each specific item of evidence that's taken back to the lab and logged in, what, if any, numbers are assigned or associated with those particular pieces of evidence?
Each piece of evidence is given an independent lab item number.
Now, with respect to the taillight, that was labeled as 3-1, is that correct?
That's correct.
So with respect to item 3-1 or the taillight, can you explain to the jury the examination process that went into that?
Sure. I prepped my workspace by spraying it down with a 10% bleach solution. I also sprayed down any reusable utensils that I would need to use. I then applied a piece of butcher paper to protect the lab bench and prevent contamination. I would put on gloves, my lab coat, and mask before I examine any item of evidence. And then I took photographs of what the packaging looked like and then photograph of the piece of evidence itself.
And then from that specific item, did you perform any testing on that item?
No, I did not do any testing on the item.
And why not?
I was, due to the case history, there was no visible red-brown stains on the item, as well as the fact there was a very limited service area for me to sample from. In addition, I was informed that the car had been towed through a blizzard. So given the fact that there was potentially very limited material on the taillight, if any type of testing that we do would remove additional material. So I made the conservative decision to take a swabbing of the item and send it forward for DNA.
And as far as that swabbing of the item for DNA purposes, can you explain sort of what the process is or how that's done?
Yes, we use a polyester swab, which is a flat spatula-shaped swab. I apply sterile water to the swab and rub the exposed areas of the taillight. And then that swab dries before it's packaged and sent to DNA.
Now, Your Honor, with the court's permission, could I publish for the jury what's now been marked as Exhibits 187 through 189?
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have first photograph 8970. Now, Ms. Hardy, directing your attention to what's up on the screen now is Exhibit 187. Again, do you recognize what's depicted in there?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize it to be?
That is the taillight that I removed from the Black Lexus SUV.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 8971, next photograph. What's now on the screen is Exhibit 188. Again, do you recognize what's depicted there?
Yes, I do.
And what is depicted there, and what, if anything, is in addition to the taillight, what, if anything, are you
That is the taillight from the Black Lexus SUV from a different angle. I am holding up a ruler to show the scale of the item.
And lastly, photograph 8972, exhibit 189. And again, do you recognize what's up on the screen?
Yes, I do.
And can you explain to the jury what we're looking at, perspective-wise, and what, if anything, you're doing?
That is the backside of the taillight, and again, I'm holding up a ruler to show the scale of the item.
Okay. Ms. Gilman, you can take that down. Sorry, just one moment, Your Honor.
Okay.
Now, Ms. Hardin, from your initial response to the Canton Police Department, you secured a number of different items from the Canton Police Station that day, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And those were labeled subsequently as items 3-1 through 3-13, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, turning your attention to item 3-6, that was the apparent hair, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And in reference to your analysis with regard to the hair, that QLIM term that I asked you about before, QLIM, what, if any, significance did that terminology have to your examination of the hair?
Per protocol, all hairs that will go forward for DNA are considered QLIM, meaning that the entire sample will be used up during testing.
And with regard to item 3-6, the apparent hair, can you explain the examination process or what it is that you're doing with reference to that piece?
Yes. I take the apparent hair and I mount it on a glass slide using deionized water. I then put the slide under a microscope and I'm looking for certain characteristics to determine if that piece of material is a hair or fiber or some other unknown material.
And as far as your examination is concerned in that microscopic analysis, what are some of the things or what are some of the characteristics that you're trained to look for that you observed in this specific instance to give you that determination that it was a human hair?
On the exterior of the hair, there'll be scales, and depending on those shape, it can help you determine whether or not the hair is an animal hair or a human hair. Human hair have imbricate scales, which look like overlapping shingles with a wave-like edge. That is what I observed on this hair. In addition, the internal characteristics of the item are looked at. Running through the center of a hair is a medulla, which is a channel. Animal medullas and human medullas look different in that human medullas will have an amorphous shape, which means they don't really have any shape at all, whereas an animal medulla will have distinctive or can have distinctive patterns within them. Also, the size of that medulla or channel that runs through the center of a hair in a human hair is approximately one third the entire width of the hair, or in animals, it may be much larger than that.
Now, as far as based on your examination of this particular item, this hair, what if any opinion or what if any determination did you come to in regard to that item that you examined microscopically here?
I determined the hair was consistent with the human hair with a root.
Now, as far as that item was concerned, was there any measurements that were done in reference to that?
Yes, there were.
And do you recall what the measurements were or what the length was?
I'd have to refer to my notes if that's possible.
So may the witness refer to her notes just in reference
yes.
to that?
The hair was approximately 7/8 inches long.
Now, with regard to item 3-6, the hair, did you perform any testing on that?
No, I did not. I did not perform any testing.
And why not?
The only type of analysis done on hairs in the criminalistics unit is a visual microscopic examination.
So where did the hair go from there?
At that point, I cut the hair into two pieces, one end that contains the root and then the remaining end of the shaft. The root end went to our internal DNA unit.
Now, it may be pretty well understood, but when you say root end versus shaft end, can you explain to the jury what you mean by those sort of descriptions?
The root end is the end that would have been attached to the scalp, and the shaft end is just the remaining outer portion of the hair.
And how is it that you're able to determine sort of the difference between the root end and the shaft end?
Through the microscopic characteristics under the that I viewed.
Now, with reference to that item 3-6, the hair, were any decisions made in regard to what testing could or would be performed on those samples?
Yes, based on the criminalistics protocol, the root end of the hair would be tested internally in our DNA unit, and if potential testing needed to be done on the shaft end, that would be sent out to an external lab.
And do you know why that is?
We don't perform that type of DNA testing at our lab.
And that's something, are you familiar with the term mitochondrial DNA testing?
I am familiar with it, but I don't really have a full understanding of it.
But as far as your understanding is the type of testing that would have had to been sort of sent out to an external vendor, that would be, the type was mitochondrial?
Yes, that was my knowledge at the time, yes.
Now, at some point, did you have a conversation with regard to examination of the remaining items in this case sometime in May of 23?
Yes.
And what was discussed?
It was discussed that I would examine the clothing and some of the other items for biological testing.
And specifically, there was an item 7-18, which was a gray sweatshirt attributed to Mr. John O'Keefe, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, from that, as far as sort of an additional analysis or an examination of those clothing items, what is it that you were doing and what is it that you were looking for as regard to your examination of the clothing items?
I examined the item for biologicals. In this case, I was looking to determine if there was any blood present on the item. I also did damage analysis of various areas on the sleeve and the front and back of the item. I also took a trace collection from the item and additional DNA samples for that, excuse me, additional skin cell collection samples from the item.
Now, starting first with, as far as that specific item, 7-18, the gray sweatshirt, what, if any, observations in general did you make when you examined it?
There were red, brown, and brown stains on the item. There was damage from the top of the shirt to the bottom of the shirt, as well as across each sleeve of the shirt. I also noted additional damage on the right sleeve.
Now, each of the areas of damage that you observed, similar to what we saw with the vehicle, were those areas marked as well?
Yes, I marked each of those areas that I was going to do further analysis on with a number.
And there were essentially 13 different areas on that sweatshirt that you had marked, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
May I approach the witness, Your Honor?
Yes.
Sergeant, I'm just showing you a series of six photographs and again asking you to look at those and look up when you finish. And do you recognize those photographs?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
These are the photographs I took of item 7-18, the long sleeve gray shirt.
And those are sort of the preliminary or overall photographs, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
I'm with the seat to introduce and admit as the next exhibits.
No objection.
Thank you.
Exhibits 190 through
195. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hardin, before I turn to these, I just had one follow-up question. And you had been talking about, or testifying about, sort of the difference between the root end and the shaft end of the hair. You had mentioned that the root end is typically something that would be attached to the scalp. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So that would be in reference to a hair that comes from someone's head, correct?
Yeah, but not necessarily. We don't perform body origin identification.
Okay. And so to that point, as far as the root end of the hair that was attached to the body at some point, whether it's the head, an arm, a leg, you don't know where?
Correct, I do not.
Okay. Your Honor, with the court's permission, I would ask to publish some of these photographs for the jury as well.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have, photograph 9789. Ms. Hardin, I'm putting up on the screen now what's been marked as Exhibit 190. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
That is the photograph I took of item 7-18. It is the exterior front.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9790, the next photograph. And what's up on the screen is Exhibit 191. You recognize that as well, Ms. Hardin?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize that to be?
That is the exterior rear of item 7-18.
And if I could have the next photograph, Ms. Gilman, 9791. Again, do you recognize what's up on the screen now? Is Exhibit 192?
Yes, I do.
Can you explain to the jury what that is?
That is the interior front of item 7-18.
And photograph 9792. And again, do you recognize what's up on the screen? Is Exhibit 193?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize that to be?
That's the interior back of item 7-18.
And Ms. Newman, if I could have 9795. Again, Ms. Hardin, do you recognize what's up on the screen as Exhibit 194?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize that to be?
That is the exterior front of item 7-18, and it also contains markers that I placed on the item to note areas of damage.
And the next photograph would be Ms. Gilman, 9796. If you could zoom in on that one. Now, Ms. Hardin, what we're looking at here, that's the right sleeve of the gray sweatshirt of item 7-18, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And so, starting with some of the 13 different areas that you labeled, this starts with 1, 2, 3, 4, goes up through 9, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Can I approach the witness again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Partner, showing you another series of photographs. Just ask if you could review those, look up when you're finished. Sorry, did you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
These are close-up photos of the areas of damage 1 through 5.
Can I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Come on, sit to introduce in a minute as the next exhibits.
No objection, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Before we begin, Madam Court Reporter, Your Honor, if I may approach just to show the next series of photographs.
Okay. It's 196 through 205. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could publish some of those photographs for the jury as well.
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9811. With respect to what's up on the screen, Ms. Harnett, you recognize what's now been marked as exhibit 196?
Yes.
What do you recognize that to be?
That is an area of damage that I noted as area 1 in my notes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have, photograph 9812, the next one. Again, Ms. Harnett, you recognize what's up on the screen as exhibit 197?
Yes, I do.
And with respect to this, what are you doing here?
That is a close-up photo of the same area of damage, area 1.
And that has some measurement that you're taking with reference to the size of that damage, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And did you do that respectively with each of the respective areas that you noted on each of the garments that you examined?
Yes, I did.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9813. Again, this is area 2, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9815. Again, what's up on the screen is exhibit 200. You recognize this as what now?
That's a photograph of the area 3 that I noted.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9817. Now, with respect to what's now been marked as exhibit 202, do you recognize that as well?
Yes, I do.
And is that the number 4 area that you noted on the right arm sleeve of the great sweatshirt of Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes, that's correct.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9819. And what's up on the screen is exhibit 204. Do you recognize that as well?
Yes, I do.
And again, what is depicted in exhibit 204?
That's the area of damage number 5 that I had in my notes.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
The photographs that I placed before you while the stenographer was marking the prior exhibits, do you recognize what's depicted in those?
Yes, I do.
And can you describe for the jury, sort of generally speaking, what's depicted in those, ma'am?
These are close-up photos of areas 6 through 11 that I noted on the long sleeve gray shirt.
And may I approach this retrieve, Your Honor?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'll seek to introduce as the next exhibits.
No objection.
Thank you.
And if I may approach the witness just to present with another set.
Okay.
It's 206 through 217.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Hartnett, what's contained in these photographs now been marked as exhibits 206 through 217. Those essentially sort of the same close-ups and then a close-up with a measurement that the jury just saw in regard to what you had marked as 1 through 5?
Yes, that's correct.
And this is just 6 through 11 on that same area in the right sleeve of Mr. O'Keefe's sweatshirt?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, with regard to the photos that I just placed before you a moment before, do you recognize what's depicted in those?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
These are the areas of damage 12 and 13 on the rear of the sweatshirt.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
Come off and take, introduce in a minute.
Objection.
Okay, just
place
these
before the
witness.
Thank you.
Your Honor, with the court's permission, may I publish these photographs for the jury?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9837. Ms. Hartnett, do you recognize what's up on the screen as Exhibit 218?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize that to be?
That's the exterior back of the gray sweatshirt.
And the items marked are the Jew labeled as 12 and 13. Are they depicted on that?
Yes, they are.
And if you could, using the laser pointer, just draw the jury's attention to where 12 and 13 are.
Is it possible to zoom in on the numbers? I can't read them from here. So there's area 2 and area 12 and area 13.
And this came in the back of that photograph, 9838. Exhibit 219 up on the screen, is that just a closer image of those areas you marked as 12 and 13, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Now, with respect to the other photographs that I had placed before you when the stenographer was marking those, do you recognize in general terms what's depicted in those?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
These are additional pictures of the sweatshirt in which I've also made some notations of areas that need further testing.
May I approach, Ron?
Yes.
Call off the sequence. Introduce in a minute as the next exhibit.
No objection, Your
Honor. Okay. If I may, Your Honor, just place these before the witness. Okay.
If it's 222, you 230.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Now, Ms. Martin, before I get to what's now been marked as exhibit 222 through 230, if I could just ask you a couple questions in regard to damage that you noted on this item or really any item. What is the process that you would go through as far as classifying damage to a clothing item?
I look at the macroscopic characteristics of the area of damage, and then I also examine the area of damage underneath the microscope.
And so what would lead you to make that sort of classification as far as something is damaged?
I look at the overall shape. I also look at the fiber ends. For instance, a tear will have rough fiber ends and possibly separation of the weave of the fabric, or a cut, you have even ends without any fraying.
Now, are you able to tell from your examination of those fibers and of those clothing materials sort of what caused those tears and cuts?
No.
Now, are you familiar through your training experience with something called an ALS or an alternate light source?
Yes.
And can you explain to the jury what your understanding of that term is and what, if any, use it had to you in this case?
An alternate light source is a light that uses a different wavelength that enables visualization of some biological fluids that can't be seen necessarily with the naked eye. On this particular shirt, I did use the alternate light source.
And what, if anything, did you observe when you used that?
I used that light source around those areas of damage to determine if there was any biological fluids that were fluorescing. The ALS did not show any stains in that area.
Now, with regard to what you had labeled as sort of tears or cuts 1 through 9 that you noted, did you do any additional testing or collecting specifically from those areas?
I collected 2 cotton swabs moistened with sterile water around those areas of damage.
And why did you do that?
It was told to me that potentially the victim may have been bitten by a dog during an incident. So I was taking swabs of that area to be sent out to determine if there's any dog DNA on that area.
Now, is that kind of testing as far as canine testing or animal testing, is that something that your lab at the State Police Crime Lab is accredited or authorized to do?
No, we do not do that type of testing.
And is that sort of sent out to an external vendor then?
Yes, that's correct.
And is that something that you had done on any prior cases or any previous situations where you had collected items and sent it out to a specific lab for animal testing?
I did consult once with an external lab on taking those types of collections, but this is the first time I've collected and actually sent something out for that type of testing.
And specifically in this type of testing and in this case, what lab were those items sent out to?
We used the UC Davis Veterinary Lab in California.
And as far as prior to collecting or prepping or doing anything as far as collecting samples from that, who, if anyone, did you talk to, or what, if any, direction did you receive in regard to collecting those samples?
I'll allow it.
I emailed Terry Kuhn, who is the analyst, is one of the analysts at the clinic, who aided me in how best to collect the sample for their lab.
And what you were directed to do as far as collection, packaging, and shipping, was that at the direction of the UC Davis lab?
Yes, that's correct.
And you performed those functions in conformity with what Ms. Kuhn told you, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, with regard to those items, did you note, with regard to the clothing items, as far as the gray sweatshirt was concerned, did you note any stains on those areas, on that clothing item?
Yes, I did note stains in those areas.
And then what, if any, testing was done on those stains that you observed?
Can you be more specific what stains you're referring to?
So what I'm specifically referring to is the items on the gray sweatshirt, item 7-18, as far as any stains that you observed on there. Again, sort of moving on from what you had collected for the UC Davis lab, but in other areas of that item. Let me ask you, first turning back to that. So the item that we were talking about as far as where you collected stains from that were sent off to the UC Davis lab, which item were they collected from and where on that item were they collected?
I collected two swabs from the areas around the damaged areas on the right sleeve. I wasn't necessarily taking them from any stains. I did use the ALS to determine if there were any stains there, which I did not visualize. So I was doing that for potential saliva collection from that area.
And thank you for the clarity. I think that was me confusing as far as the questions go. So turning away from that area as far as the collection for the UC Davis lab, in addition to that, what, if any, stains did you observe on that article of clothing 718, the gray sweatshirt?
I also observed numerous red-brown stains on that item of clothing.
And so with regard to those red-brown stains, what, if any, testing was done on those stains?
On each of those stains, I performed a blood screening test as well as a blood confirmatory test.
And are those the same sort of initial testing that you were, screening test you were talking about before, and then the confirmatory test?
Yes, that's correct. A different screening test was used in the lab than was used at the scene due to a protocol change, but essentially it's the same mechanism.
And was that with respect just to the gray sweatshirt, or were there other items of clothing of Mr. O'Keefe's that you tested with the screening test in the lab and a confirmatory test in the lab as well?
I examined other items of clothing as well.
Now, if I could bring your attention back to what's now been marked as Exhibits 222 through 230. Your Honor, with the court's permission, if I could publish some of those photographs for the jury.
Okay.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could first have photograph 9841. And what's been marked as Exhibit 222. Again, you recognize what's picked up on the screen?
Yes, I do.
And with reference to your observations of the red-brown stains on that clothing or any other item of clothing, similar to the tears or cuts or the damaged areas that you observed, were those areas similarly marked with some sort of sticker?
Yes, that's correct.
And is it sort of the same linear path as far as numbering, or is it lettering, or how do you denote those?
For the red-brown stains on this item, I use letters.
Starting with A and then sort of going through it, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have, photograph 9842. Again, do you recognize what's up on the screen?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
That would be red-brown stain A that I noted on the sweatshirt.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9843. And what's up on the screen, which has been marked as Exhibit 224, do you recognize that as well?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize that to be?
Those are red-brown stains B and C that I noted on the sweatshirt.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9844. What's up on the screen now is Exhibit 225. Those are stains that you labeled B, C, and F, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
That's just sort of a pulled-out version of that to denote where B and C were located on the sweatshirt. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's correct.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9846. And what's now up on the screen is Exhibit 227. And again, Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in a little bit on the stickers. And Ms. Harden, if you recognize what's up there on the screen as Exhibit 227?
Yes, I do.
And these are two other stains that you noted as far as D and E on the same item?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you. Now, ma'am, with reference to the other photographs that I think you still have before you that I gave you when the stenographer was marking the last batch, do you recognize generally what's depicted in those photographs?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
These are photographs of item 7-17, the orange T-shirt that was told was belonging to John O'Keefe.
And what's depicted in those photographs, is that a fair and accurate portrayal of what you observed as far as the orange T-shirt was concerned in your lab that day?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm off the seat to introduce the witness. The next exhibits.
No objection, Your
Honor. Thank you.
Like
Exhibits 231 through 241 marked.
Thank you. Mr. Lally, we have a few minutes before lunch. Do you intend to display some?
I think maybe...
If you do it quickly, do it now.
Okay.
If you're not, we'll take a break. Jurors, we're going to take the luncheon break.
That's fine.
I'm going to see counsel at that.
Please. All rise for the court, please.
All rise. Court stands in recess to 1:30.
Did something come out like six protocol? What was the word for
that? Session may be seen.
All right, so we have to do a better job of streamlining all of these exhibits. What I'd like you to do is every day, no later than 8:00 in the morning, let Madam Court Reporter know how many exhibits you think there are going to be for the day, because you may or may not know, but each sticker, Madam Court Reporter puts the exhibit number, the date, and her initials, and that takes a lot of time. So if we can streamline that, that would be much better. How many more do you expect to have for today?
May we approach just on that?
Okay. We can line them up and bring them in.
Some of these are already marked.
But... You are unmuted. All right, could we have the witness, please? All right, Mr. Lally.
Good afternoon, Ms. Hart.
Good afternoon.
So with respect to the photographs that were just marked as exhibits of the orange t-shirt, that was item that was marked as 7-1, is that correct? I'm sorry, 7-17.
Yes, that's correct.
So similar to how you had marked off areas of either damage or red-brown stains, was that similar to what you did with the gray hooded sweatshirt? Is that similar to what you did with the orange t-shirt as well?
Yes, that's correct.
And then there were two other clothing items that you examined, being a pair of jeans and a set of sneakers, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And with reference to the jeans, that was marked as item 7-1, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And with respect to the sneakers, that was marked as item 7-4, is that correct?
Each sneaker had its own item number. One was 7-3 and one was 7-4.
And with respect to the evidence as far as the stickers and sort of the denotations that you had made in regard to either damage or red-brown stains, was that similarly done with respect to each of those remaining clothing items as well?
Yes, that's correct.
And Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
With respect to the jeans, showing you a series of one, two. Eight photographs, do you recognize those?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
Those are photographs that I took of the pair of jeans.
And what's contained in those photographs, a fair and accurate portrayal of your observations of those jeans when you conducted your examination of them at the lab?
Yes, that's correct.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'm off the seat to introduce and admit the next exhibits.
All right, and there's no objection, you said, Mr. Jackson, correct?
Thank you.
Yes, please. Your Honor, if I may, with the court's permission, publish some of the photographs in the packet from 232 to 241.
Okay.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have, excuse me, photograph 9862. Ms. Hardin, do you recognize what's up on the screen that's now been marked as Exhibit 231?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize that to be?
That's a photograph I took of item 7-17, the orange T-shirt, and it's the exterior front.
And Ms. Gilman, 9863. And again, Ms. Hardin, do you recognize what's up on the screen as Exhibit 232?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize that to be?
That's the exterior back of item 7-17.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9867. And Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in on sort of the upper right portion of that where the stickers are. Now, Ms. Hardy, do you recognize what's up on the screen as Exhibit 233?
Yes, I do.
And again, using the laser pointer, if you could draw the jury's attention to any items that you, or any areas of this shirt that you marked on.
I marked three specific red-brown stains using these stickers and letters A, B, and C.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could ask you to keep the zoom in, but go to the bottom left of the photograph. And similarly, Ms. Hartnett, within this zoomed-in portion of Exhibit 233, could you, using a laser pointer, could you draw the jury's attention to what, if anything, you noted there?
I noted red-brown stain D, which I marked with the sticker, and D on the bottom right.
Last name, Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9873. And Ms. Hartnett, what's up on the screen is now marked as Exhibit 239. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in on the upper left portion of the photograph. And again, Ms. Hartnett, if you could, using the laser pointer, just draw the jury's attention to what, if anything, you noted there.
I noted this specific red-brown stain, and I marked it E.
Okay. And, Your Honor, similarly, with the court's remission, if I could publish what's been marked now as Exhibit 242 through 249.
Okay.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 9878. Ms. Hartnett, Director, attention of the screen with now the mark as Exhibit 242. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
What do you recognize that to be?
That's a photograph of the exterior front of the jeans with the belt, item 7-1.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9887. And as you testified before, similarly to the other clothing items that you testified about, did you mark off certain items of interest or areas of interest on this item as well with respect to the jeans?
Yes, I did.
And is that depicted in this photograph?
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 9888. And if you could just zoom in, Ms. Gilman. And again, Ms. Hartnett, if you could, using the laser pointer before you, direct the jury's attention to those areas that you noticed or that you marked off in respect to this.
I marked off red brown stains A, B, C, D, and E on the front of those jeans.
Thank you. May I approach the witness?
Yes.
I'm going to show you another series of client photographs, if you could just review those. Do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
These are photographs of the sneakers, items 7-3 and 7-4.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
Your Honor, the Commonwealth seeks to introduce and amend the next exhibits.
Okay.
No objection.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, Ms. Hartnett, with reference to the sneakers and sort of the other clothing items that you received, do you recall how or where or when it was that you received each of those respective clothing items? Or how the lab did, you know?
They were received by the lab from the Norfolk Detective Unit.
And as far as the sneakers being labeled with two different stickers, do you know why that was?
One of the sneakers was recovered from 34 Fairview Road, and one of the sneakers was recovered from the hospital.
Now, with reference to the photographs that I've just placed before you, have you had a chance to look at those?
These ones here?
Yes.
No.
If you could. And do you recognize what's depicted in those photographs there?
Yes, I do.
And what do you recognize those to be?
Those are the fingernail clippings that were submitted for John O'Keefe.
And do you know where they were submitted from?
By the Norfolk County Detective Unit.
May I approach, Your Honor?
Yes.
I'll call him up to see if he's due for the minutes of next.
Okay. Thank you.
And, Your Honor, with respect to each of those, I'm not seeking to publish those to the jury at this time. So,
okay.
Court officer.
The lights back on, please.
Now, Ms. Hartnett, with respect to those stains on the gray sweatshirt, the orange T-shirt, and the jeans, what, if any, testing was done with respect to those stains?
A screening test was performed on each of the Rem Brown stains on those items. I'm sorry, did you say the sneakers? Could you repeat what items you're speaking of?
With respect to each of those respective clothing items, what, if any, testing was done with regard to any stains you observed on those items?
For the sweatshirt, the T-shirt, and the jeans, I saw visible Rem Brown stains, which I screened for blood. The majority were also, I also performed a confirmatory test for blood. There was one stain on the orange T-shirt, however, that was too small to perform that confirmatory test. So for that instance, I noted that the stain was quantity limited, and I preserved it after the positive screening test instead of performing a confirmatory test in order to preserve enough material for any DNA analysis. As far as the sneakers, given their dark color, I did not see any visible red-brown stains on the black area of the sneakers, so I used an alternate light source to aid in visualizing any potential blood on those sneakers. With that alternate light source, I tested several stains on the sneakers, one of which screened positive for blood.
Now, with respect to the other clothing items that you were talking about doing the screening test and the confirmatory test for blood, with respect to the gray sweatshirt, the orange T-shirt, and the jeans, what were the results of that screening test and that confirmatory test that you ran with regard to each of those?
The screening test and the confirmatory test were positive.
Now, beyond the stains, did you take any additional samples from those items?
Yes, I did.
And what were those and how was that done?
For each of the items, I picked up any loose trace material, which would be hairs and fibers or apparent hairs and fibers that were adhering to the item. I also did a scraping and swabbing for skin cell collection of the unstained areas. And that involves taking a sterile scalpel and swabbing the areas of the clothing that don't have any visible stains on them, and then taking two cotton swabs and swabbing that same area, and then combining those scrapings and swabs for potential DNA analysis. In addition to those, I also took a scraping of each of the materials, and that involves taking the item using something like a flat metal spatula and scraping down whatever adhering materials left on the item into a glassine packet.
And as far as those items, once they're collected from the material or from the clothing, what do you do with them from there?
Each of those items is given its own item number. It's a sub-item of the overall larger number used to mark the item, and those are sent to the appropriate units for additional testing.
And as far as preservation is concerned, when it comes to sending something to either the trace unit or the DNA unit, what, if any, steps are taken in regard to preserving those items once they're removed from the clothing and sent off to the other units?
Each of those items would be preserved according to protocol. They are sealed properly, initial and dated with my initials and date. They're entered into our LIMS system, so those sub-items could then be tracked throughout the laboratory, and they're stored in the appropriate storage unit.
Now, at some point, did you also receive items that were labeled as 3-2 and 3-3?
I submitted those when I returned from the original scene.
And what were those, ma'am?
Those were pieces of glass from the bumper and a drinking glass from the crime scene.
Now, did you examine those items?
Yes, I did.
And what, if any, examination did you do, and what is it that you were looking for in your examination?
I did a visual examination, and I took photographs, and then I also took a collection from each of the items.
And did you do any testing on those items?
No, I did not.
And what kind of samples did you collect from those items?
I took potential skin cell collection using a swab moistened with sterile water.
And as far as the samples that you took from, as well as the items themselves, what, if anything, did you do with reference to those once you were done with your examination?
The swabs were preserved for testing in the DNA unit, and the original items, the apparent pieces of glass and the drinking glass, were preserved for the trace unit.
And as far as those preservations were concerned, is that similar to the preservation process you were describing earlier with regard to the clothing items?
Yes, that's correct.
So both Ms. Tilalli and Ms. Harnett, you have to keep your voices up, or we have to turn the air conditioning off.
Understood, Your Honor. I may have one moment, Your Honor.
Yes.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I don't have any further questions, Your Honor.
All right. Cross-examination.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Harnett, you responded to Canton Police Department. A lot of your testimony was about what happened in the Sallyport, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
You were asked if you responded to the Canton Police Department on February 2nd, and most of your testimony was predicated on that date, you going over there and doing some visual observations, as well as some removal of items and some other testing, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Was it February 2nd or was it February 1st?
May I check my notes?
I'd appreciate it if you did, yes.
My apologies, that was my error. It was February 1st.
Okay, so everything that you testified to, you only went once.
Yes, that's correct.
So everything that you testified to having taken place on February 1st, we should assume it was actually February 2nd, we should assume it was actually February 1st, the one time you were there.
Yes, I was there one time.
Okay. Were you dispatched to the Sallyport, and I apologize, I'm not yelling at you. I'm trying to keep my voice elevated, so just so you know.
Understood.
It's not my normal speaking voice. You were dispatched at the behest of one of the Massachusetts State Troopers, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
The Detective Bureau specifically, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Trooper Proctor more specifically, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And Trooper Proctor, you knew at that time to be the lead detective, the person that was in control of the investigation.
May I check my notes who I wrote down as the lead investigator at that time?
If it would refresh your recollection, sure. With the court's permission.
Yes. Yes, I was told on scene that Trooper Proctor was in charge of the investigation.
All right. Now, while you were there, one of the things that you did initially was to just do an overview of the vehicle, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Obviously, that was important given the limited information that you had at that time about a potential motor vehicle pedestrian incident, correct?
Correct.
So you were looking for anything that would rise to a level of investigative concern regarding that vehicle, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Hence your review and notation of certain scratches on the vehicle. Is that right?
Yes.
Which may or may not have anything to do with the incident, but you noted it anyway, correct?
I did not draw any conclusions as to where those scratches came from.
Okay, you just took the words right out of my mouth. My next question, the dent that you noted and photographed. You made no conclusion that that occurred as a result of a motor vehicle pedestrian incident, correct?
That's correct.
The scratches, and I'm just going to go through a couple of them. The scratches that you denoted and had photographed, You made no conclusions about that having anything to do with a motor vehicle pedestrian incident, correct?
That's correct.
Even the broken taillight, at that point, you made no conclusions or drew no scientific conclusions about that having anything at all to do with a motor vehicle pedestrian incident, correct?
That's correct.
You did, however, look for tissue, human tissue, blood, biological material, and things of that nature on the car itself. Did you not?
Yes, I did.
In that review, I think you testified that you saw nothing that suggested the transfer of human tissue to the vehicle, correct?
I did not see any visible stains or tissue on the vehicle.
You were told, Ms. Hartnett, that there were scratches on one of the extremities of John O'Keefe, correct?
That's correct.
Were you shown a photograph of those scratches to assist you in your visual review or examination of that vehicle?
Not at that time, no.
To this date, have you seen a photograph of his arm and the injuries to his arm?
Yes, I have.
Your Honor, if I may, if we have it, could I display for the jurors and for Ms. Hartnett Exhibit 19?
Is this the one that's covered a bit? Okay.
Propped.
Yes.
Your Honor.
Courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs, in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.